Bobby Spencer from General Hospital.
Free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net, where you can find a list of past guests, download those interviews, see who's scheduled for upcoming shows, and if you're listening live, you can see the call-in numbers. We're joined this evening, July 27, 2009, by Michael Rouse and Sandy Gregory of Turbine Truck Engines, LLC. They own an exclusive license for the manufacturing of a highly innovative and environmentally friendly 300 to 100 horsepower turbine-based truck engine. Known as the detonation cycle gas turbine engine, its patented cyclical detonation technology is poised to be revolutionary heavy-duty truck engine market. Mike, the company president and CEO, is an entrepreneur and gaining much of his background in building businesses as founder of Cox Rouse Construction and Development Corporation, a commercial real estate developer. He spent 70 years growing the company, which received two prestigious awards. One was Florida Power and Light, where they won Most Energy Efficient Home Built in Florida in 1997. Mr. Rouse is a licensed commercial aircraft pilot, which is significant to his understanding of how existing turbine engine technology operates. In addition to an aircraft and power plant maintenance expert, he has knowledge and interact with the development of the current technology and is able to translate that technology to investors, transportation companies, and truck operators in layman's terms. Mike, welcome to the show. Yeah, joining Mike this evening is Sandy Gregory, who serves the company as a consultant to the president. Over the last 20 years, Sandy has worked with executives from over 50 countries, providing counsel on the acquisition and management of global alliances, partnerships, and coalitions. Sandy's expertise has benefited some of the world's most prestigious companies, including IBM, Intel, Microsoft, Schellenberger, Hughes Space and Communications, Boeing Aircraft, HFS Group, and Dow Jones News and Services. Sandy, we're glad to have you on the program as well.
Thank you, Sterling. Delighted to be with you tonight.
Thank you. You have an engine that is unique. Tell us a little bit about the genesis of the idea and how the company came into being.
Well, Sterling, the engine, the detonation cycle gas turbine engine, is the brainchild of Robert Scragg. Robert is a scientist and an inventor, an interesting man. He developed bridge-to-bridge protocols for the Navy. Electromagnetics is his specialty. And he came up with the idea for the detonation cycle gas turbine engine. We call it the DCGT. And he established the Alpha Engine Corporation as the business entity to house that particular product. And he and Mike got connected around the turn of the century. Mike, I know the audience would like to know how you and Robert got together.
Yeah, that was interesting. Back in 1999, I was leasing some facilities at the DeLand Airport. And DeLand, we're in central Florida here, just about 20 miles west of Daytona Beach. DeLand is the home of Stetson University. With my background in aviation and whatnot, most of my commercial business development was on the airport. So I had built most of the facilities on the airport, and we had quite a bit of leased property available. Robert had come to the city of DeLand and was looking for a place to demonstrate his engine. So the city sent him out to me, and he came to my office, and he was looking for a place to run his engine to give a demonstration. And I said, I asked him, well, bring it in. We'll take a look at it. And Robert brought it in, and this, it was totally unique looking at it. you know, it looked like an airplane engine. And then with the, you know, horizontally opposed piston engines that were exposed to the air, it was air-cooled. So I was very familiar with that style of engine technology. So what really interested me was when he told me it didn't have any pistons in it, so, and that it was a turbine-based. So I said, yeah, go ahead and bring it in. We would take a look at that. When he did, he brought it in. All I had was a 6,000-square-foot warehouse for rent. Robert needed about 1,000 square feet. So I went ahead and we put the engine in there. He ran it for me, and I was just, I was just dropped. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. And then so I told Robert, I said, yeah, just go ahead and leave it here in this warehouse. Of course, it looked pretty small inside this great big warehouse. And but as Robert brought in his first group of people and gave it a demonstration, and I was very impressed with it, he asked me to set in. So he asked me at the end of the presentation what I thought, and I said, well, you know, it was a little bit long, but it was good. It was very technical because Robert's a scientist and inventor. So it was, I made a couple of suggestions to shorten it up and that kind of stuff, and he liked the suggestions that I made. So he asked me if I could help him with that, and that's kind of how we got started. I told him I could. I couldn't spend a lot of time because of my other businesses I was running. But as time went on, we developed that relationship, and he asked me to come on the board of Alpha in 2000. And when we did that, we were looking at who really needed to benefit from this technology the most. And at the time, you know, fuel prices were very cheap. So what was happening was Clinton had just passed new legislation at the end of his administration to raise the EPA standards. So truck manufacturers were having a hard time meeting the new criteria. So what we did was we looked at being able to target the trucking industry for this new technology. So after talking with Robert, we decided to go ahead and form a new corporation, and that's how TTE evolved. And then we licensed the technology to Turbine Truck with exclusive license to manufacture, market heavy-duty highway truck engines worldwide.
I have to tell you, this concept of the turbine inside of the truck, we're talking these big semi-trucks that you're driving down the road, having a turbine inside them, and the idea of these periodic pulses rather than the regular piston cycle fascinates me. Maybe you can describe that process a little bit.
Yeah, let me kind of describe on how the engine works. You basically know what it looks like, and everybody knows how a piston engine works. The detonation cycle gas turbine, or DCGT, achieves complete burn of fuel-air mixtures and cyclic detonation. To look at the engine looks like a horizontally opposed piston engine, kind of like a Continental aircraft engine, or most of you may be familiar with a VW engine, air-cooled VW engine that in the Volkswagen Bug. So what you basically have are two staggered air-cooled combustion cylinders that are attached to the sides of a housing containing a paddle wheel turbine that's affixed to a single shaft.
One of the big differences, Sterling, in the engines is that when people think of a gasoline piston engine, that engine will have a four-stroke cycle, the intake stroke, power stroke, etc. And the DCGT does not use pistons, and so it has only one cycle per explosion. So fuel and gas is injected into a cylinder, and there's a light which emits a radio voltaic and a photovoltaic ray, and that explodes that fuel-air mixture, driving the power through a nozzle hitting the turbine. And they operate, it operates from one side to the other, so it is cyclical, with the power coming from one side, then the opposite side going back and forth like that. And because it does not have the four-stroke process, it happens instantaneously. It is a significant improvement in terms of the fuel that's used, and in terms of the power that's produced.
How does it compare to other turbines, and why hasn't this concept been integrated before? And maybe where is your IP coming in here in terms of what sets you apart from other turbine concepts?
Well, basically, you know, the other turbines are Brayton cycle gas turbines. You have basically that's the other type of turbine that's out there that drives a shaft, that is shaft driven. Most people think of turbines as jet engines, and of course this is not a jet engine. So what we've done and why it hasn't been implemented to date, basically back in the 70s, Ford put a turbine, a Brayton cycle gas turbine, in a truck. And when they did that, it actually worked very well. The only problem is that it burned so much fuel and emitted so much emissions that they could not, you know, it just wasn't beneficial. But the power and everything was there. We believe that the DCGT, having the fuel savings because we're intermittently combusting that fuel, will make this type of an engine very viable.
One of the characteristics of a Brayton and cycle engine is that it's a continuous fueling process, and in the DCGT the detonations are intermittent, and that provides a significant savings to fuel over a traditional turbine engine.
Okay, we're going to go into break here in a second. And one thing we haven't really done yet is throwing out some numbers. What's the difference in yours percentage-wise from a regular diesel engine, for example, versus, let's compare some, give some numbers really quick before we go to break.
Okay. Well, the DCGT uses about 30% less fuel to achieve the same horsepower as a traditional piston engine. And there's also a significant reduction in pollutants going out into the atmosphere. So those are two critical differences between the DCGT and the traditional engines that you see pulling vehicles down the road.
All right. Well, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about maybe some testing you've done.
I'm Joe Battaglia, host of The American Advisor. Many investors have seen losses of as much as 50% in mutual funds and stocks, while other investors made money. Successful investors were properly diversified and owned gold. Gold tripled as their mutual funds fell. The net result was safety and protection of wealth for those who owned gold. Swiss giant UBS Bank is forecasting gold to rise to $2,500 in the next 5 years. So you can position yourself to recover losses and start profiting with gold. Call Goldline today to learn how you can put gold's amazing potential to work for you. 1-877-341-2646. You can benefit from owning gold. Call Goldline today. 1-877-341-2646. That's 1-877-341-COIN. For free information on investing in gold, call 1-877-341-2646 or 877-341-COIN. Call now and we'll send you a free CD and a free newsletter, a $25 value.
I plugged the Scan Gauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The Scan Gauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The Scan Gauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at scangauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
Arr! We be under attack! Man the Long Nine!
Arr! Here be boarded! Flagship's underbound!
What? No, not by the enemy flagship! By garbage! Me beautiful ocean be full of it these days. Many of folk don't know that when they throw their trash on the ground, it eventually makes its way into the ocean. So lend us a hand by always recycling and disposing of your trash properly. And learn more what you can do to keep the ocean healthy at keepoceansclean.org. Brought to you by the Keep Oceans Clean Alliance and the Ad Council.
Free energy! Now!
Sterling Allen coming back at you. I'm talking to you this evening with Michael Rouse and Standy Gregory of Turbine Truck Engines LLC, the company that has a very fascinating concept. Imagine a turbine in one of these semi-truck engines getting 30% savings on fuel with much lower emissions. Let's talk about the cost for a second, because whenever we talk about efficiencies, there's going to be a cost involved. First of all, in comparing one engine to another, how much will a turbine truck engine compare to a regular diesel engine that would be in one of these huge trucks?
Well, Sterling, we anticipate that the cost of a DCGT will be competitive, at least, with, for instance, a diesel engine. We also anticipate that it may be less than the cost, and that's based on the number of moving parts. For instance, in most diesel engines, you have between 55 and 60 moving parts. The DCGT has substantially fewer moving parts, so it will take the cost to produce it will be significantly less. We also anticipate that while the cost may be less at the point of purchase, the cost will also be less to maintain. For instance, the engine doesn't use oil, as an example, and so oil changes would be eliminated. And because it has a number because it has fewer moving parts, there would be fewer things to break, have to be replaced, have to be maintained. So we anticipate being competitive at the point of purchase. But over the life of the engine, we think that the engine will cost considerably less to own and operate.
Now, I've known about you guys for almost a year, may even be a year by now. We've had you in our top 100 clean energy technologies by the New Energy Congress over top100energy.com. And so, you know, I've been wanting to have you on this show for a long time. Finally, something has happened that, you know, you've turned a corner. You're at a point where you're ready to come on the air, go in the media. What is it that has been the landmark turning point? In fact, I should have mentioned on the outset, this is a maiden voyage for you. This is the kind of the first time you've come on the media, so to speak. You're going on the air with me. What is it that is the big development that you're coming upon here?
Well, Sterling, we've had some key developments in the actual development of the engine technology. We've been working with, contracted with a firm in Daytona Beach, ABM Engineering. We've been working on a new prototype engine based upon one of Alpha's earlier prototypes. It's a smaller low-inertia turbine, which means you spin the turbine much faster than a high-inertia turbine, but the results are the same as far as horsepower, but you'll be able to scale the model, be able to build the engine in smaller models. Typically, what we're trying to achieve is a 70-horsepower engine to power a 50 kW generator that we would be able to use, especially in Florida or someplace like that where you're in a hurricane zone or whatever and have power outages. So it's something that we could use, that we can do, and we're very close, I'd say within the next 6 months, we should have good data on that engine, and be able to bring out more information. As well as we're working with a group in China called AMEC, which is Aerospace Equipment and Equipment, or excuse me, Aerospace Machinery and Equipment Company. China has taken a real interest in our technology. As you know, if you watch the Olympics, looking across the street at the stadium there, you could hardly see it. So they're looking for anything that has that will help improve their environmental issues and pollution problems.
And when you talked about that 70-kilowatt engine, you're talking about a genset for generating electricity?
Correct. Yeah, that would be that would hook it up to a 50K generator and produce electricity, which would power your whole house, you know, air conditioning and everything.
Well, 50 kilowatts is going to be enough for maybe 15 homes, isn't it?
No, 50 kilowatt would be just enough to do to really supply that to supply your house.
Not my understanding. You could do one home on about 1.5 kilowatts, and that's based. I was doing a Google search on this just yesterday. Doing a I did number of kilowatts for powering a home, and they were talking about wind turbines, solar farms,
right.
And they were saying this many megawatts could produce power this many homes, and the conversion is somewhere between 1.5 kilowatts to 5 kilowatts or 4 kilowatts is kind of the ballpark that you have there per home.
Well, I'm just going by what my my engineers are telling me, and they're saying that if we use that, build that size of generator, that would be the perfect size to power a fairly large home.
What you're saying, Sterling, would even be better than what we are understanding at this time. So the engine, if your information is correct, and I have no reason to believe it's not, it would suggest that the value of the engine would even be greater than we have understood it to be. So this point, in terms of...
Yeah, it is. I mean, 70 kilowatts would do a multi-million dollar home in Malibu.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Or 50 kilowatts. But we'll put that aside for a second. But so you're also looking at a generator type of paradigm as well, using fuel much more efficiently.
One of the beautiful things about the engine, Sterling, is the number of applications that the engine would be useful for. Mike has just spoken about its usefulness as a generator for homes and businesses. His original interest and Robert's original interest was to develop the engine for use in trucks, including Class 7 and Class 8 trucks. Obviously, it would be useful in cars. It could be useful in motorcycles. The list just goes on and on of the number of applications that this engine would be useful for. We see it as a game changer worldwide.
Now, don't you guys have a contract with California? Maybe I'm misremembering or something, but it seems like you had some kind of a contract for some truck fleet or something like that.
Well, we were on that, Sterling. We were working with TriStar. That was TriStar Alternative Fuels. They are originally out of Arizona, and we're converting diesel engines to run on compressed natural gas and supplying that for the corridor from Mexico up to Canada. Currently, they've moved to the port of L.A., and yes, we are in contact with them, and in the future we'll work with them as far as they want to convert trucks. Trucks coming into the port of L.A. every day, they're trying to clean up the port environmentally, so they've already restricted trucks that are of 1998 models or later are only allowed to come in because the older trucks emit too much, have too many emissions. So what they're doing is they've set up a shop there now, and in the future we will work with them when we have an engine that they can run on, actually on propane there, that would really help clean up the port.
One of the challenges for ports, not only L.A., but around the world, is that as they adopt these efficiencies...
Going with a clean fuel like propane would be ideal in combination with an engine that's running more efficient anyway.
Well, correct. And the thing about the propane there in L.A. at the port is there are so many refineries there, and when you refine crude into gasoline, one of the major byproducts is LP gas. And so they would get it at a very reduced rate, because right now the refineries actually just burn that fuel off.
Yeah, so if you can use that's an awesome win-win.
Yeah, that's typically, and that's one of the great things about this engine is its flex fuel capabilities. Because it has a continuous spark, the ignition system requires no timing. So as the fuel air mixture comes into the detonation cylinder, it happens immediately. Boom, it fires. The back pressure shuts the fuel air mixture off and charges the other side. And then it's complete burn of that fuel air mixture. Normally, in a regular piston engine or diesel engine, that fuel burns about 75%. 25% of the fuel burns on the cylinder walls after the compression stroke or after the power stroke. And what happens then is in the exhaust stroke, that's when you see that big black billowing smoke coming out of the tailpipe.
And when you talk about flex fuels, when we come back from break at the bottom of the hour, let's talk about what fuels you can burn in this and where are you going to target in terms of, you talked about generators, you talked about trucks. What are you going to target in rolling this technology out? We'll get to that after break.
Live streaming audio on demand, 24 hours a day. Log on now at 1100kfnx.com.
kfnx.com.
CNN Radio, I'm Greg Black. Sources tell CNN it was Michael Jackson's doctor who administered the powerful drug that authorities believe led to the singer's death. Former Jackson attorney Mark Garagos tells CNN's Larry King Live that Dr. Conrad Murray could be facing charges.
Any DA, especially the DAs that I suspect are handling this case right now, are going to take a real hard look at whether this is an implied malice murder case, a second-degree murder case.
Michael Vick could soon be throwing touchdown passes again. Just 1 week after finishing up a two-year sentence for dogfighting, Vick has been reinstated by NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Real estate agents finally have something to smile about. New home sales rising 11% in June. That's considerably higher than had been expected. It's almost decision day for Sonia Sotomayor. Senate Judiciary Committee will vote tomorrow morning on her nomination to the Supreme Court. Four Republican members of the panel have announced they will oppose her confirmation. This is CNN Radio.
We will continue that excessive heat warning for the southwest deserts, including the greater Phoenix area, right on throughout midweek. Looks like high temperatures 113 to 115. No monsoon storms. They'll be confined to the extreme eastern mountains. Jim Howell, KVNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently, in downtown Phoenix, it's 105 degrees.
Don't miss Imus in the Morning, Arizona's news talk leader. Imus in the Morning. Only on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
The I-Man is back.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sensitive adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon? Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you live. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You'll feel psyched up, tuned in, turned on, and megawired for sound. What? Yeah, tune in to Healthy House Call as we discuss the secrets to wellness, longevity, and abundant energy. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. as we broadcast live and direct from Healthy Habit Health Food Store.
Free energy now.
We really want to change the world today.
Eagle Mountain, Utah.
We'll always take donations, that's for sure. Or some hard work volunteering. Give a little and you'll get back more. You know the future's looking brighter. We just want to help the world today.
Free energy now.
That's a toll-free call-in number if you're listening live, 866-536-1100. We're broadcasting out of KFNX 1100 in Phoenix, Arizona, where it's 108 degrees. We're only 85 degrees here in Utah, neener, neener. What are you down there in Florida, Mike and Sandy, from Turbine Truck Engines?
I think it's about 75 this evening. It's after midnight here, 3 hours difference.
75. Well, you're a little bit cooler than we are here in Utah. I would have thought you'd been quite a bit warmer than that, even at midnight.
But it's nice and humid.
Oh, yeah, so that's going to make quite the difference.
Yeah, it was the heat index was over 100 during the day today. So
wow.
It cooled down pretty nicely once the sun went down.
Well, getting back to this turbine truck engine, fascinating concept, burn 30% less fuel than a regular engine would, a diesel, but you say this is a flex fuel. When you say flex fuel, let's ask two questions. Number one, how many fuels could you burn in this? And number two, do you have to adjust the engine per fuel, or could you put whatever you want in the tank?
Well, let me take the first one. Mike can have the second one. In terms of the number of fuels that it will burn, it will burn several different fuels. One, of course, is that we've talked about is propane, but it would also burn hydrogen, acetylene, butane, compressed natural gas. On the wet fuel side, you can obviously burn gasoline, but you could also burn diesel fuel, methanol, ethanol, liquid natural gas. And the beauty of that is that you can fill your car up, for instance, in Phoenix, and if you're headed across the United States, if you filled it up with gasoline and you get to Albuquerque, and you discover that there's a station there that has a hydrogen pump, then you could fill your car with hydrogen. And if you drive another 300 or 400 miles and you discover a compressed natural gas pump, then you could put that in it as well. So this flex fuel capability gives the engine the opportunity, the capability of migrating as our society migrates in its capabilities of providing these fuels. Mike would be the better person to answer the question of it running on them simultaneously or in conjunction with each other.
Yeah, typically this engine will burn any type of fuel or mixture of fuels. In Australia or whatnot, or even in the port of L.A., what would happen is you could have multiple fuel tanks on your vehicle and then be able to select just by having a selector valve on your dashboard. And change that over to from say propane to diesel, and be able to run that. The only thing that you have to do prior would be to gasify the liquid fuels prior to detonation.
Now I can speak to that. I drove cross country with Ty Robinson. He's a member of the New Energy Congress. In one of his flex fuel vehicles, it was Suburban. And we were running on ethanol, we were running on natural gas, we were running on, for just a very short period of time, we ran on gasoline for like a few miles because we had to get to a
it was a little glitch in the system, not because the gas wasn't available. But yeah, there was just a little knob underneath his dashboard. He had converted this fuel. He had a gaseous tank and he had a liquid tank.
Sure.
And so whatever was available, you just put it in the tank, and it could be a mixture. It wasn't a problem.
Yeah, and that's the real beauty with the turbine. It accepts different types of fuels more easily than a piston engine, because in piston engines, you know, like diesel, he probably couldn't run diesel in there and then switch to natural gas because of the stroke of the piston. But with this engine, it makes it very possible to do that.
Wow. And so this is, let's go to the next question now. And I do have to just mention something really quick.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the flex fuel, he talks about the flex fuel paving the way to a hydrogen highway, because it enables you to run on whatever fuels available, including the cleaner fuels. So if you have, for example, in Phoenix, they have a solar-powered hydrogen system where you convert the water to the hydrogen gas. You have a fill-up station, which is cheaper by like threefold in gasoline, and that's not available everywhere. But when you go through Phoenix, you can fill up on that. So you create a demand because you have these vehicles that can run on, you know, just about any fuel, including the cleaner ones.
Right, and that's very important in the future. You know, what I call this is the transition engine. It will enable us to transition from fossil fuels today to synthetic fuels tomorrow, and then eventually to hydrogen. The problem with hydrogen right now is that we can't produce enough of it, and when we do, it's pretty expensive. But what 20 or 30 years from now, when we actually build some nuclear plants, when there's less peak time, they can produce all the hydrogen that we would really need.
One of the challenges, Sterling, is that we face which comes first question. On the one side, if you build cars that require certain fuels like hydrogen, then you have to have the hydrogen pumps, so the cars are ahead of the pumps. On the other side, if you have the hydrogen pumps but the cars are not able to accept that, then obviously the stations that are servicing hydrogen go broke. And what this particular engine does is that it allows our economy to grow naturally in terms of providing fuels. So on the one side, if you have a fuel that you need to use that's for your car, you can get it wherever you are. And then as you go somewhere else where another fuel is available, then you can make that adjustment over to the other fuel. So it solves the which comes first question, which is a major issue in terms of how we're going to build out a new energy economy.
Let's go to the next question, which is, which markets are you going to target in rolling this technology out? How are you going to do that?
Well, first of all, you know, it's our main focus still on the heavy-duty truck industry. The reason we're moving toward a generator application is because it's a way for us to enter into the market a lot sooner, which would bring revenues into the company. And also, we're targeting, the Chinese are very interested in it for automobiles, for maybe even a hybrid electric vehicle, where you build a little smaller horsepower engine to charge batteries and stuff with. So that's basically our target markets. We're still focused on the truck engine, but the amount of time that it will take as far as once the engine is done, getting it integrated into a vehicle, you still have a year of DOT testing to do just in the United States.
Yeah, I would think that would be a brutal market to enter.
Yeah, well, it's not so much that it's a brutal market, but they're the one that's demanding change the most. I mean, we talk to truckers every day and trucking companies, and they're all just hounding for something new. Including talking to the engineers of PACCAR and Volvo, they're really looking for this new technology, and they're watching our technology very closely so that as we progress and get this ready for the market, that they're willing to, you know, really talk to us and help us bring this thing on board.
And what's happening, Sterling, is that the end users of the engines are putting back pressure on the makers of the engines, or the makers of the vehicles, to provide them with engines that help them to be competitive. Give you an example. YTD, which is out of Overland, Kansas, stock price has gone from around $60 a share. The last time I checked a couple of weeks ago, it was $1.40 a share. Just enormous competitive pressures on these very large trucking companies. And they are looking for ways that they can become more competitive and more efficient in their operations. And so they're putting back pressure on the manufacturers of trucks, and, of course, the engines that are in them, to give them that which will enable them to be more competitive.
What about a retrofit? Is that something that makes sense, or is this something you want to do from the ground up?
Retrofits would be nice. Now, we've talked to our engineers about that. It would just be a matter of cost. What is going to have to be replaced in order to do that? It's probably, realistically, would be better to work this from the ground up. And I really believe once this technology catches on and becomes, it could very easily become the industry standard, to whereby it would be mandated. And then if that was the case, then there would be government incentives for you to change to this technology.
Okay. And if you change to this technology tomorrow, what kind of savings are we talking about?
Well, today, you know, just like any new engine technology, it starts out, it's not as efficient as, it ends up in the end. Say that, like the piston engine, it's been under development for over 100 years. They've made great improvements up until now, but they've reached the point where they can't make that engine much more efficient. And today's diesels, the best efficiencies are about 35%. We believe that in the next, with this next prototype and whatnot that we're doing,
okay, we're going to have to go to break and we'll pick this up.
Of up to 35%.
I plugged the Scan Gauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The Scan Gauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The Scan Gauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at scangauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
Arizona Together, Arizona's good news newspaper since 1991, was created to serve the community, providing information to help people enhance their lives in relationships, careers, finances, spirituality, and their own recovery. Arizona Together is solution-oriented and the resource for those interested in a better life today. To showcase your business and for subscription information, visit ArizonaTogether.com or call 480-767-7880. That's Arizona Together, 480-767-7880.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the woods, just outside of town.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, we were about to head home, you know, after having a bonfire.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right. See, Smokey told me the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
that was a joke.
Oh.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. Only you can prevent wildfires.
Free energy, now!
Here's one for you music lovers out there. As you've come to appreciate our Free Energy News service for exploring the cutting edge of clean energy, eMusic.com is a great place to find music for the more obscure yet very talented artists
Go to emusic.com/energy. That's our affiliate page to get a 14-day free trial with 35 free song downloads. You can cancel before 14 days. You get to keep all 35 tracks for free. eMusic is the number one site for independent music with more than 3.2 million tracks to choose from in the MP3 format, providing the best value in digital music. Try them out at emusic.com/energy. Tonight we're talking with Michael Rouse, CEO, and Sandy Gregory of Turbine Truck Engines. They're talking about this great turbine truck technology. And as we come back into this segment, this is our last segment, are there any things we want to cover? I do want to make sure we get your website out there.
Yes, Sterling. Our website is ttengines.com for turbine truck engines, ttengines.com. And your listeners can also go directly to the source, as it were, and look at the patent for the engine that's available also online at the U.S. Government Patent Office. We have also recently received from the ISA, the International Searching Authority, an opinion that the engine is truly unique in its novelty, inventiveness, and its applicability. The ISA basically covers 100 countries worldwide. The opinion was rendered out of Korea. We got it from Korea because things happen a lot faster in Korea than they do in Washington. But that opinion is also available online. So there's a number of different resources that individuals can access online to learn more about the company.
Now, if I understand right, that is a rare thing to happen with a patent.
Well, we are really excited about this, and I think it speaks to the true uniqueness of the engine. The search authority there in Korea said that, as I said, in all three areas, in its novelty, in its inventiveness, and in its applicability, there is nothing else like it in the world. So we're really excited about what the implications of that are.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And what about investing?
Well, Sterling, we, of course, are always excited in finding people who are interested in what we're doing. I would recommend that anyone who is interested in investing in the company start by talking with those in their lives who provide financial counsel, be it a CPA, a certified financial planner, another kind of financial advisor, and get those individuals involved in the investigatory process along with the investor himself or herself. As the team looks at the investment, I think what they will conclude is that this particular investment would fall into the speculative sector of an investor's portfolio. As a result, there is risk that is involved, but as in all of these types of investments, there is significant upside potential. And so the funds that an investor has set aside for speculative investments might be targeted towards our stock, which is TTEG.
TTEG.
Right.
Is that a pink sheet or what?
No, we're the on the over-the-counter bulletin board company. We've been a fully reporting company since 2007.
Okay.
So all of our filings are available through EDGAR online, and so you can have complete disclosure as to our company.
The company, right. Sterling, has been a fully reporting company since its inception, which was in the year 2000. And in the first years, it was a private company, but there was still a consistent reporting of the financials of the company. And then, of course, in going public, you have your 10-Ks at the end of the year, 8-Ks quarterly, so forth and so on. And so all of that information about the company is a matter of public record and can be investigated by investors and their financial advisors.
In terms of priorities for rolling this out, are you going to focus first in the U.S., or are you going to also allow international groups? You have mentioned some international aspects in this interview.
Yeah, Sterling, we are moving in that direction. In fact, the majority of our investment to date has come from outside the U.S. However, you know, we do want to work with U.S. companies. Most of them are not in a position to do anything. It's basically here in the U.S., they once the technology is completely done and in a vehicle and you bring it to them, then basically they'll work with you. Other countries, they're more acceptable to new technologies, new ideas, and help you bring those ideas forward.
One of the things we found, Sterling, in the United States is that the United States is a mature industrialized society, and so entrenched interests are harder to penetrate, whereas in developing countries where people are looking at new ideas and aggressive towards innovation, we find people taking a look at this and saying, hey, that's really interesting. It reminds me of what happened with Edwards Deming after World War II. Edwards Deming, of course, is the father of statistical process control, and he went to American companies and suggested to them that he had a way of improving the quality of their processes and therefore their products considerably. And he got a cold shoulder. He went to Japan just after World War II. And, of course, if you had stood in Hiroshima in 1945, you would not have thought that in 50 years Japan would become a world economic power. But Deming went to Japan, was warmly received, and if you talk with business leaders in Japan today, they will say that Edwards Deming played a key role in the resurrection of the Japanese economy. And what happened for him 50 years ago is, I think, similar to what's happening to us. As we approach companies, they are already mature, they have these entrenched interests, and therefore they are not as accepting of the idea. But when we go overseas, we find people saying, yeah, this is, you know, this can be a game changer, and we want to get involved in this.
Well, I would think in today's economy, with energy being a key question or issue, that something like this would be a key of key interest to someone who's looking for the next opportunity. What is the next step, and what is the what is maybe the obstacle that you're looking at?
Well, basically, you know, in any engine development or any development stage, money is usually the biggest issue. So we're at the point now where we've got commitments from large companies that have the capabilities and the willpower to commercialize an application. And so we're in the process right now of finalizing a couple of those deals. As I said before, aerospace equipment and aerospace machinery and electric equipment company has taken on that task and has committed to do that. They're in the process now of raising the capital and then starting the final stage development here and in China.
To pick up on that, Sterling, AMEC is a wholly owned subsidiary of COSIC, which is one of the largest state-owned companies in China. There's over 150 companies that this parent company owns. AMEC is one of those. And what that means is that our technology is getting visibility in one of the largest enterprises of anywhere in China. And we're really excited about the potential for what that means, because as people at the top of that company get to know us and what our technology and what it will do, they will then be talking with others who we believe will also be very excited about the potential of this particular engine.
There is a question I had earlier. I want to make sure I get to it, and that is, if I understand right, this is a scalable technology. What would you say is the smallest size, and what would you say is the biggest size that you could go to reasonably with this technology?
Well, that's a good question, and we're working on that now. We've in the new patents, you'll see that we've incorporated a sliding vane blower, which can be basically miniaturized. So we could actually, I believe that the technology could be miniaturized. Someday, I hope to see it as small as that you would see on a model airplane, and then as big as what it would be to power a large power generation plant or a large vessel, you know, 5,000 horsepower or something like that.
Well, so on the small side, could it go even as small as, I mean, we talked about cell phones and fuel cells. Do you go that small maybe one day?
Oh, no, I don't think we could go nano, basically, but you're talking about, you know, if you're talking about maybe motorcycle engines or down to, you know, like I said, a drone-type aircraft, you know, used in the military for observation or for military operations. Yeah, that could be scalable to that size.
You could use it on lawnmowers as an example. Just almost think of everything in your life that's running on an engine. This is a potential replacement for that engine.
Okay. Well, we really appreciate you coming on the show. We are just about out of time here. We want to make sure that one more time we get the name of your company and website, Truck Turbine Engines. And actually, it's
Turbine Truck Engines.
Turbine Truck Engines. For some reason, I have a hard time remembering those two. I know it's TT Engines.
Right.
Which of those comes first? It's Turbine Truck Engines.
Turbine Truck Engines, Inc. And the website is ttengines.com.
And this is the next big thing going on with big engines or small. And you're hoping that you can break into both markets simultaneously, or are you going to go for one first?
No, we are working on both fronts there. And like I said, as we sign up other companies that have the interest and the capital resources to commercialize an application, we'll further those applications as well at the same time.
Well, thanks, Michael and Sandy. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having us tonight.
Thanks, sir.
FreeEnergyNow.net. And join us for our daily news at FreeEnergyNews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at PESWiki.com. That's PESWiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information Network.
KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
News, weather, and traffic.
Cave Creek, Phoenix. A division of Premier Radio Stations, LLC.
CNN Radio, I'm Paul Chambers.